Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are here live right here on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you all that are listening in on today in Jesus' name. And if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed. It's not because of me. It's not because of my voice. But if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise on today. Welcome to the show. Amen. Welcome to the show that preaches life. Amen. We preach life over here. Amen. And on the Spirit of Love Network, we preach about life. Amen. And I thank God for being here on today, giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name, giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this great network, in Jesus' name, the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name, Apostle Cook, God bless you, in Jesus' name, and all of the Spirit Alive family, God bless you in your respective places, in Jesus' name, and also giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name, God bless you in their absence. And if they're listening, God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, I did not know that the Lord was going to have me talk about this topic today, and I have not told anybody. Me and the Lord have been communicating with each other. The Lord has been communicating with me mostly. I haven't been saying a word, but the Lord has communicated with me and through prayer and fasting and through supplication. The Lord has commissioned this topic today. And this topic today is dealing with ministry. It is dealing with ministry, but it is dealing with a ministry that we as people do not, in our mindset, and this is what the Lord gave to me, in our mindset that we do not perceive really as ministry, but it is a ministry in God's eyesight. But we really don't look at it as ministry. We look at it as living life. We look at it as living life, but it is a ministry in the form of, in the eyesight of the Lord. And it is dealing with the men today. Amen. So sisters, amen, you can sit back and take notes today. Amen. This thing about ministry, as we look at ministry in itself, we think, most people think, that ministry comes from when you receive that revelation that you're called to the ministry to preach or to teach or to do whatever in the church. But this form of ministry is founded outside and inside of the church. And this is for the men. And it's for women too, but it's mostly on the men right now. This is focused on the men because they are the head of the home. And the reason why this is ministry focused mostly outside of the house of God, because you cannot focus your ministry on the inside of the house of God until you focus on this part of ministry outside of the house of God. And this is the ministry of marriage and fatherhood. This is what we're going to talk about today. The ministry of marriage and fatherhood. Now, this type of ministry is a ministry for men that are seeking or are husbands and or fathers, because you can do both. You can be both, but it must be done in the godly aspect. Now, there are a lot of unsaved men out there. There's unsaved men out there that are fathers. There are unsaved men that are husbands. And you can be a good husband and you can be a good father and be unsaved. There's still good fathers and there's still good husbands that are unsaved. But to be a great husband in the eyesight of God and to be a great father, you have to have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, this Bible declares, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So that's how we get the great. Because it says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. So that's where we get the great from. That's how we get to be that great husband. And being a great husband and a great father does not mean that you're going to make every decision correctly. Doesn't mean that it's the mindset thing. It's a mindset thing. And then that when you are able to lead as a father or as a husband in the mindset of Christ, you are going to greater heights and deeper depths in God with your spouse and your children. Your household is going to higher heights and deeper depths in God when you are led by Christ to lead your house. Amen? When you are led by God to be the great husband that God wants you to be, or to be the great father that God has called for you to be. Amen? If we look in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 26, it shows us, it gives us a command as husbands, and it tells us what to do as a husband. I'm going to read that to you in your hearing. And it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, I want to break these two verses down. Now, first off, I know that verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I want to break these two verses down. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The first thing that you must do as a husband, to be a great husband, you must submit yourself unto God. Point blank, period. It says that in verse 21. The wife must submit herself unto God, and you must submit yourself unto God to be able to run the house, to run as a cohesive unit. You both must submit yourselves unto God in the fear of God. And that means that's not in fear and trembling. That's not you shaking in your boots. That is a respect of God, to show respect for your relationship to God, that you as a husband will show your utmost honor and respect for your relationship unto God. And that the wife will show her utmost in honor and respect for her relationship with God. Because even though you are joined together, you both have separate relationships with God. The reason why the Lord is having me say you have different relationships with God is because the husband cannot stand before God for the wife, and the wife cannot stand before God for the husband in judgment. Amen? Now, this is where the Bible declares that we both, as husband and wife, we must submit ourselves. We must submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, we're submitting ourselves together, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, and we're also submitting ourselves to our relationship with God. We're submitting ourselves together, that I'm going to be with you, you're going to be with me. Whenever you need me, that's where I'm going to, wherever you need me, I'm going to be there. Wherever I need you, I need you to be there. And that's for both parties. That's not just for one. That's for the husband and the wife. Amen. Now, verse 22 says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, a lot of men, they look at this verse and they say, oh, well, just to sum it up, I make all of the rules of the house, everything that's said and done, you know, I make all the rules. And the wife's supposed to obey everything I say. I'm a tyrant over this house. It goes my way or the highway. No, that's not true. But that's how some men think. It's my way or the highway. That's not what that means. That's not what that means. What that means is that the wife is considered as the weaker vessel in the eyesight of God, but it is the man's job, it is the husband's job to lead the house. And the husband does have the final say over the house, but that does not mean that the husband gets to rule, and what I mean rule over the wife and the children, that does not mean that the husband gets to, you know, rule his house with an iron fist, where anything he says goes. You don't give your wife any breathing room. You don't give your wife nothing. Your wife got to do everything you say do. Everything. I mean, everything. What this means is that, yes, the husband has the final say of the house. But when verse 21 is to submit yourself one to another, that you, yes, you have the final say, husband, but it's that you have communication with your wife, that you sit down, that you both sit down and talk to one another, whatever it might be in that house, that you sit down and that you communicate. Just as well as having communication with God through prayer, you must have communication with each other. Keep constant communication with each other, because there is an enemy out there trying to come up against your house. But if you both are in constant communication with each other and with God, and in constant communication with God together and separate sometimes, because the Lord will have y'all praying together sometimes, and the Lord will have y'all praying separately sometimes. Sometimes, and what I mean separately, sometimes the husband is at work, that wife at home or at work, or sometimes she's praying for her husband, or vice versa. That husband is praying for his wife, praying for the household, praying for things. This is the start of ministry. You cannot focus your eyesight, naturally or spiritually, focusing on preaching first, because ministry does not begin with preaching in the pulpit. That's not the first part of ministry. The first part of ministry, these are the basic fundamentals of ministry. If you're single, you have to get yourself together first. Learn how to establish yourself first. If you're married, learn how to rule your house well. Learn how to make your house a home. Amen. When that man gives you the money, wives, when your husband gives you the money or you make the money, whoever makes the money, however way y'all make the money, if that husband gives you the okay to take that money and make that house a home, learn how to be wise with it. Proverbs 31, be the Proverbs 31 woman, the woman of God that you are, to make that house a home. Amen? And man of God, be that strong protection for that home. This is the start of ministry. This is the ministry of being a husband. This is the ministry of being a father. This is the ministry of being a wife. This is the ministry of being a mother. Amen? It's all in ministry. Now, you might say, well, how does marriage and fatherhood, or how does marriage and motherhood, how is that a ministry? How do we use that as ministry? Okay, well, I'm going to finish out we read verses 21 and 22. Verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay? Now, verse 25. Now, God, in these verses, God gave the wife the mandate, gave the wife the commandment or the mandate. Now, in verse 25, see, God just doesn't give the wife the commandment and the mandate to be a wife, but it also gives the husband. He gives the commandment to the husband. In verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen? This is what we have to do. We have to love our wives. We have to love our home. We have to love our children. I know it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, but if you love your wife, you're going to love your children. If you're going to love your wife, you're going to love that home. You're going to do all you can to make sure Amen. that home has what it needs. Amen? But as we look in Ephesians, it breaks down the character of being a husband. Now let's look at the character of being a father. What is the mandate for being a father? Well, let's go to Proverbs 22, verse number 6. And let's look what God said about that, about being a father and a mother, if you will. Proverbs chapter 22. And then we're going to break down how this all ties together with ministry. Proverbs chapter 22. It reads, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is the mandate or the commandment of God for that father or that mother to train up a child in the way they should go. The Bible declares that we should train up our children in the admonition of the Lord, in the nature and in the admonition of the Lord. The Bible declares that suckle little children unto him and forbid them not. Children are not just children. Children are a gift from God. Marriage is a gift from God, no matter how you look at it. How do we know that marriage and children, family, is a gift from God? Well, Psalms 118, and it is ministry. How do we know that it is ministry? How do we know that it is ministry? Well, let's go to Psalms 118, verse 23. Psalms 118. It is It is ordained by God. Amen. First off, marriage is ordained by God. And let's go to Psalms 118, because I want to show you this. Psalms 118, verse 23. Amen. Psalms 118, verse 23. And it reads, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Now, when you get married, it's a marvelous thing. You know, that wedding day, you got your bride, or you got your bride standing before you. You remember that day, man. You remember that day, Winter? Amen. When you had your groom before you, or your bride before you, and that day that you got married. Amen. It was a great day. It was a great day. And this is the Lord's doing, because the Lord established marriage. The Lord established marriage. But he established it as a ministry in his eyes. Why do we say that? Because the Bible declares in Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Right? Let's go there real quick, because we already see that in Psalms 118, verse 23, "This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes." Okay, we see the Lord put a man and a woman together. It's marvelous. Amen? It's marvelous. Now, let's look at Colossians 3:17, and let's see what the Lord has to say there about twining this up as a marriage, this marriage thing as a ministry. Amen? Let's go there real quick. Let's look at Colossians 3:17. Amen. Colossians 3, verse number 17. And it reads, "Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Amen. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And it says in verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives." Amen. "And be not bitter against them." Amen. This is the whole thing of having a family. Amen. Verse number 20 says, and this ain't even in the notes. Amen. Verse number 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Amen. All from 17 on down to 21, it talks about them. It talks about them. Amen. But in Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever we do in word or in deed," when you got married, this is pleasing unto the Lord. When you got married, it became a ministry. As soon as you got married, it was for the edification of God. Your marriage is for the edification of God. When the day you had your children, that was for the edification of God. There's some people that can't have children, that had children, that wasn't supposed to have children. And they had them. God blessed them to have them. And do you not know that children are a gift from God? No matter how you look at it, I don't care how bad you think that child is or how good you think that child is, that child is a gift from God. And God don't make no mistakes. God don't make no mistakes. Amen. Let's wrap this all up in the intertwining of marriage and fatherhood as a ministry. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, let's go there real quick and let's see. Is this really ordained by God? Is marriage really ordained by God? Is fatherhood, is family really ordained by God? It is. The first marriage that took place, God established it. Amen. Before we go to these verses in Matthew, the first marriage was between Adam and Eve. Now, we didn't have a pastor to join them together as one. But we had God. God did the first ceremony of marriage between Adam and Eve. He established family from then on. The ministry of family is your first ministry ever as men and as women. Establishing your home, whether you be single, whether you be married, establishing yourself and your home is your first ever ministry. Getting the things that are getting your foundation as a child growing up, and then you becoming an adult, understanding that I have priorities, and I have to prioritize my priorities. That is the first basic fundamental of ministry, prioritizing. Prioritizing your priorities. In marriage, marriage and fatherhood will help you do that. It will help you do that. If you're single, because before I got married, I was single. I was by myself. I didn't have any children. But I learned how to prioritize. I learned how, and this is just personally me. I don't know about anybody else's life, so I'm saying me because I only know my life. Amen. But when I moved out of my parents' home, I then established the Lord helped me to establish myself as a man, teaching me how to pay bills, teaching me how to go out and do things on my own without my parents' help. Amen? Those foundational tools helps you get ready for the responsibility of marriage, of responsibility of fatherhood. And one of the things that helped me in me becoming a father were my nieces and my nephews before I had children. My nieces and my nephews helped me. The Lord put them in my life to help me be the father I am today. Now, I learned from my own father, and I learned how to be a father by my own father, but to put those characteristics or put those tools into action, to actually see myself doing it, to see those characteristics or those tools being used, they were firstly used with my nieces and my nephews. Now, you might say, well, Brother Adam, because when I first got out on my own, I didn't have any children. And you might say, well, having nieces and nephews are different than having children, you know. Yes, it is. I'll be the first one to say yes, it is, because I didn't used to think that way, but it is. It is different. It's way different. But it taught me how to be. Me growing up, nieces and nephews, and then my nieces and my nephews, as I watched them grow up, because basically all my nieces and nephews are older now. My oldest nephew is 21 now. And I watched him and his brother, they spent a lot of time at my house. A lot of time at my house. But it taught me how to deal with children. It taught me how to deal with children. Growing up, my sister, you know, my sister, we helped raise my nephews, my two older nephews. I love them. I love them to life. They're men now, but I still love them as if they were little kids. Amen. But it taught me how to raise my boys. Amen. And the things that I learned from my parents, like taking them out. My father took me out places everywhere. This is why my children don't never leave my sight. And when I say leave my sight, yes, they go to school and things like that. But what I'm talking about is establishing yourself. That is the first part of ministry, establishing yourself. Amen. Husbands, what is the definition of being a husband? What is the definition of being a husband? A married man considered in relation to his spouse. That is the definition of being a husband. That's the man-made definition of being a husband. The spiritual definition of being a husband is a man who is tasked with the roles of being a provider, spiritual leader, and head of his own household for his wife. That is the spiritual definition of being a husband. Now, the natural definition of being a husband, we can look at that natural definition that a married man considered in relation of his spouse. We can look at that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Amen. Let's go there real quick. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Amen. Let's see what the Lord has to say there. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Amen. And it reads, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now watch this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Matthew chapter 19, because we just read that a man shall leave both his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh, right? Okay, we saw that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 19. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse number 4. Amen. This backs up Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Watch this. Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse number 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Which means God has ordained this. Why did he ordain it? He ordained it for the cause of him. Now, marriage marriage can be the symbol of the spiritual marriage that's going to take place when the rapture takes place. We're the bride of Christ, right? But marriage and being a father is a ministry. Why is it a ministry? Because it is to edify God. It is to edify the kingdom of God. What you do as a husband, what you do as a father, is supposed to edify the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. The spiritual definition, as we read, of being a husband is a man who is tasked with the roles of being a provider, a spiritual leader, and head of his household for his wife. Now, Colossians 3 and 19 backs this up. Let's go there real quick. Let's go back to Colossians. Amen. Let's go back there to Colossians real quick, and let's see what thus saith the Lord in that verse. Amen. Because me personally, and this is something that we as men and as people, we got to look at. We have to look at everything that we do, everything, and women too. Everything that we do must be for the edification of God. We can't do it because we want to edify ourselves, but we have to do it for the edification of God. Everything that we do, that's why Colossians 3:17 says what it says. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If we're not doing it in the name of the Lord, we ain't got no business doing it. We ain't got no business doing it. If we don't want to be married to please God, we ain't got no business getting married. We don't. Amen. Let's look at Colossians 3 and 19. Amen. Which backs up the spiritual definition of a husband who has tasked with the roles of being a provider, spiritual leader, and head of his household. This right here, we have to learn how to be, and this is for our wives. We have to be there for our wives. Amen. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Amen. Sometimes your wife needs that consoling. Jesus has said it in his word. We have to be there for our wives. We have to be there for in that role of being that protector, being that spiritual leader for our wives. We have to be that head of household, because as it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 26, it says that the wives submit yourselves to your own husbands, but they have to have something to submit to. They have to know that they're protected. They have to know that they're provided for. They have to know. And this is what I said earlier. Taking your responsibility, prioritizing your priorities. Amen. We have to sometimes we have to show our wives that we love them. Amen. It's good to tell them. I tell my wife every day I love her. I tell her every day. Every day. Sometimes marriage is not always. Marriage is a job. Marriage is a 24-hour day job. And it's a work. It is a job that sometimes you are not always guaranteed 100% from your spouse. Sometimes sometimes marriage is not 50-50. I don't know who said that. I don't know who told you that. Marriage is not 50-50. Because sometimes that husband is given the whole 100. Sometimes that wife is given the whole 100. Because there are going to be times in marriage where sometimes that man is low on strength. Sometimes that wife is low on strength. It might be emotional strength. It might be physical strength. It might be a mental strength, whatever it might be. Sometimes you're given 10. Sometimes that wife is given 20. Sometimes that wife is given a whole 100. Sometimes that husband is given a whole 100. It does not, it shows that we have to be compassionate at all times. We have to show compassion to our spouse. We have to be ready to show compassion to our spouse at all times because we never know. Charity starts at home. And this is why we say that marriage is a ministry and fatherhood is a ministry. Amen? Now, let's look at this. I want to let my Spirit Alive family come in here and leave some comments. If you have a comment, you can just go on and chime in right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
If you have a
praise the Lord.
I definitely have a comment on this. I'll list my qualifications and credentials. Been married 36 years and have 6 children and 10 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless, because if you're trying to do this without God and without submitting to the word, you can forget it. Because mm-hmm. you're going to need all of the power of the Holy Spirit to make this happen and succeed.
Right.
But one of the things I got from what you were saying in Ephesians, which people often miss, is that that is the role of the wife. The wife should reverence her husband. That is said that way for a specific reason. You are to revere your husband. You're acknowledging his authority. The husbands are to love their wives. It doesn't say to wives to love your husband. It says you revere your husband. It doesn't say to husbands to revere your wife. It says love your wife. It's using those things for a very specific reason, because God has structure and order. So when I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ." The head, it says, the head of every man is Christ. And then it says, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. See, that's structure. That's order. That's design.
Right.
And that's why it doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. It says, wives, reverence your husband. And then it says, husbands, love your wives. And then this goes all the way back to what God did with his people. So if you go to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, this is what God says about his people. He says, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. So he betrothed himself to Israel. He married himself. God married himself to Israel. And then when you go all the way back to Hosea, and you go to Hosea, and Hosea, and this is important, because what it says in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, right? Hosea 2, 19 and 20, God says, I will betroth you to me forever. yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And so that's what God is saying to his people. Now, what my experience is similar to what God went through with the children of Israel. He betrothed himself. He married himself to Israel. And then Israel went chasing after other gods. They went whoring after other gods, is what they said. Mm-hmm. And I had an experience in my marriage where we were married 7 years, and we had an incident of infidelity, and I divorced my wife. And then after a year, God caused me to remarry my wife because I reflected on my experience growing up without a father myself, when my parents got divorced when I was 9, and what my life was like. But then I also looked at what God went through with the children of Israel, right? When God, when the children of Israel went whoring after other gods, he chastised them. And then after chastising them, he restored them and brought them back and said, you're not getting away from me that easily, right? And it's not like that was the only time they did that, but you see God's love for his people. And there's if you read the rest of what it says here in Hosea chapter 2, you see how God is, he says at the end of this, he says, then I will say to those who were not my people, speaking of the Gentiles, speaking of us, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God, right? God is saying, look, I'm going through all this with you, but I'm not just dealing with you. He's saying, I'm going to have my old age wife too, you know? Have you ever known men lived and they outlived their wives and then they marry another woman after their first wife passed away, right? And so this is their old age wife, right? This is what God has done with the Gentiles. He's like, hey, you know what? Those who – you might not be responding to me, but there are people who will respond to me. And that's us. We're in that place, right? We're to revere the same way that God tells us, or God tells women to revere their husbands. You need to reverence your husband. That means you are honoring him. You're acknowledging his position, his covering. And see, that's the thing. That verse in 1 Corinthians 11:3, where it says, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. It's showing you order. There is one who needs no covering. He covers Christ, and then he submits to Christ, and is covered by Christ, and one the man. So you have to submit to the authority above you in order to have authority to yourself, and that allows you to be the covering, right? But when you're ignoring what the scripture says, then you have chaos, and people all the time are trying to turn beams into columns and floors into roofs and all kinds of stuff. You got to let things be what they're designed to be, you know? And when you read the word of God, you see what it is. Now, you can close your eyes and ignore it if you want. But if you want to be blessed, if you want to live a more than abundant life, then you have to get into what it's saying here and own it and do it and then be blessed. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, Minister Togo.
Yes, sir. I thank God for what has been said. I thank God for Bishop Carver bringing that out. I know when Bishop Carver was speaking, he was saying that there's order in marriage, there's order in family. God ordained order. And as we see today, and I got to do as the Holy Spirit leads me to do so, because this is off the notes now. Amen. The world itself has gone away, our government system and things of that nature have gone away from the order of God regarding marriage and regarding fatherhood and regarding motherhood. regarding family. The world system has stated that, hey, we don't need this order. In their actions, they have stated in their actions that we don't need this order, that the man and the wife should be in the home, that the husband and the wife should be in the home, that it should be a man and a woman in the home, giving covering over the home. Now, the world system says that you could do whatever you want. You could have a man and a man. You could have a woman and a woman to cover a home. And it's not so. God did not design it that way. And the way God designed it is the way we need to do it. And what we have to do in order to keep the family, this is why we have so much chaos in the family. And I heard Bishop Carver say the word chaos. We have chaos in families because there's two main things that society has done away with: the order of God, and it has brought chaos into the origin of this thing called family. Number one, the world system says that a woman doesn't need a man to raise the children. That's not true. Or vice versa, a man doesn't need a woman to raise children. Or the society states that it takes a man and a man to, it can take a man and a man to raise children. It can take a woman and a woman to raise a household. These three things have disrupted the order that God has ordained and established from the very beginning. You cannot have man and man together and establish a home. You can't do it. It ain't going to be right, no matter how you look at it. You cannot have a woman and a woman together, supposed to, I guess, be married and establish a home. You can't do it. It's going to have chaos. And you cannot do without the father or the mother in the home. You cannot do it. Life will be hard for you. We see a lot of single mothers, and this is where this is why it's not good to have. See, society has it as the man. What makes a man is them having children everywhere. That does not make a man. That doesn't make a man, and it doesn't make a woman either. But what makes you a man or a woman is that you are able to handle your responsibility and that you prioritize your priorities. What makes you a great man or great woman is that you are able to prioritize your priorities, whether you be married or single, in the mindset of Christ. The establishment, see, okay, look, not saying that, and we're not saying that you're not ever going to have problems in your home if there's a, because there's some people that might think, well, are you saying that if I have a man and a woman that are married in a household that they're never going to have problems? That's not true. I'm not saying that. Because you're going to have things try to come up against that home. I'm not saying that. But you have the structure that God has established so that when those problems come, it won't be chaos. You'll know what to do. You'll know how to do, especially if you have a saved husband and a saved wife, and those two come together. That's why I said earlier, it is prevalent. It is in order. Prayer is always in order. The Bible says, the Bible declares, man should always pray. And that goes for the man and the woman. I know it says man should always pray, but that's talking about human beings. That's talking about humanity. Humanity should always pray. pray. Whether you be man or woman, you should always pray. Keep that communication with God. And especially if you're married, keep that communication with God. Pray together so that you can leave your home. Pray over your children. You don't know what these children are going through when they go, especially nowadays. You don't know what spirits are teaching them in the classroom. You don't know what spirits are teaching them in the classroom. I'm going to say it one more time. You don't know what spirits are teaching them in their classroom. You don't know what spirits are trying to take over your children, because you're not with them 24/7. But it is to be, this is the priorities of marriage. This is the priorities of ministry. Pray over your home. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and ye and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. We as fathers, we as mothers, should seek God in every area of our life as far as being a father and a mother. Learning. Look, and this is not saying that you beat your child over the head with the word of God. Oh, if you stay outside the will of God, you're going to hell. Don't tell them that. They if they've grown up in church, I guarantee you they done heard that. They know that. Love them in. The Bible says, train them up in the way they should go, for when they're old, they will not depart. Pray for them. Teach, show them how to be good husbands. Show your boys how to be good husbands. Show your girls how to be good wives. That's why you need that mother in the home. That's why you need that father in the home. And you might say, well, we're just raising girls. Look, you need the man in the home just as well as you need the mother in the home for a girl. You know why? Because the Bible declares it to be so. Now, it doesn't give specifics on why the man should be there. It doesn't always give specifics. But the Bible does give specifics on what the man should do as far as raising children, whether that child be male or female. It is the man's job, it is the woman's job to sit down as the mother or the father, sit down and talk to your children, guide your children. We got different scriptures in the Word of God that declare this. Amen? Where fathers would give advice to their children. Where mothers would give advice unto their children. The Proverbs 31 woman showed her children how to be. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us whether if the Proverbs 31 woman had, sons or daughters. But this Proverbs 31 woman, it showed how a woman of God should be as a mother. Amen. Teach your daughters how to be young ladies. Amen. Men, teach your daughters how to be young ladies. And you might not show them the female side of being a young lady, but you can show them what a man's supposed to do for a young lady. Amen? Teach your boys how to be men, to show them how to treat a young lady. Women, you can teach your boys what they're supposed to look for in a woman. Amen? When they get older, they just don't go... Don't come to my house just with anything. Not today. My wife tells my boys all the time, don't come in, when you get older, don't come in this house with just anything. I'm going to tell you about yourself and I'm going to tell you about her. knowing that you know. Make sure that she provides. If y'all have children, make sure that she provides for the children. Make sure that she's a good mother. Amen. These are the things that we have to do as men and as women of God. These are the things we must teach our children. The Bible declares in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if any provide not for his own. Amen. The end of that verse says he is worse than an infidel, which means he is worse than a sinner. Or she is worse than a sinner. If you don't provide for your house, and that doesn't necessarily mean financially. That doesn't all mean financially. That means financially. That means mentally, physically, emotionally, mentally. You got to be there for your children. Thank you, Jesus. Let's break this down. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 5. Amen. Let's see what this says. For if a man know not how to rule his house, his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Amen. What this is telling us is you got to learn how to be, you got to be a good husband. You got to be a good father. Amen. You got to be a good husband. You got to be a good father. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, lets us know that, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If you don't provide for your house, these two verses go together. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. These two verses go together. If you ain't providing for your house, don't think that you can provide for the house of God. That's why I say ministry starts at home. Charity starts at home. This is why this is the first ministry that we have. Learning how to establish yourself. The ministry of establishment. Whether you be married or single, establish yourself. Amen? How does a man provide for his family? Number one, he must work to take care for the upkeep of the home. He's got to learn. He has to keep the upkeep. He's got to work to keep up on the home. Amen. To help that woman, to help that wife, turn that house into a home. Amen. Amen. Bring in the money. Amen. And I don't know how, this modern day era. Amen. The woman works too, however you and your wife choose to set your household, that's you. Amen. But it is good for the man. It is good for that husband to make sure that that the wife has what she needs to make that house a home. Amen. Amen. And it's good for the wife to make sure that house has what it needs so that house can run. So well with the man. Make sure that house has what it needs. This is a team effort. It's a team effort. That's why God said
when he told, when he said in the book of Genesis, he said that woman should be the man's helpmeet. Amen? He didn't want man alone. But he created woman to be a helpmeet unto the man. Amen? This is right. But it's for us to work to keep up on the home. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Amen. You don't believe me? Let's go there. I'm giving you these last few scriptures before we depart today. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse number 10. Amen. It reads, "And even when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither shall he eat." Which means you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, you're not providing, there's no provision for the home. It is prevalent for us to go out. Look, and let me tell you something, ladies. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you the same thing my former pastor told all of the young people. Told all the young people back in the day. And this is for the man and the woman. Just because you have a baby by somebody does not mean you have to marry them. Just because you lay down with them, amen. And let me tell you, saying I'm going to marry you is not a proposal. Living together without being in holy matrimony, amen, is not marriage. You have that is chambering in the from what the Word of God says. It is chambering, and that is a sin. Living together unmarried is a sin. Well, we've been living together for this many years and that many years. It's still a sin. And it's wrong. You have to take those vows between you, your husband or your wife, whoever, and God. That's what makes it a home. God established marriage. This is why, okay. And I'm going to say this. A way to show somebody you love them. Because a lot of people get love mixed up and confused. And this is another topic for another day, but I'm going to go into this. We're going to dive into this just a little bit. Love is not all about sex. Come on, somebody, because there's a lot of young people that think that sex is the only way to show I love you. No, uh-uh. No, 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 no. Sex is not, okay. Sex is here for two reasons. Number one is for the population of mankind. But sex is supposed to be used between a husband and a wife. Because it's the joining together in their marriage. You become one. Amen? It is the transfer. This is why it's not good to lay down with everybody. Because when you lay down with somebody, I'm doing this as the Holy Ghost leads, because this is off topic. I'm doing this as the Holy Ghost leads me to. When you lay down with somebody and you have sex with somebody, you are transferring spirits. And you wonder why. This is why those soul ties, you create soul ties when you lay down with people in that way. you wondering why you can't get over that man or that woman because you done laid down with them and you got soul ties with them. And the only person that can break a soul tie like that is Jesus Christ. This is why sex is only used for married people, not for single people, because you're going to have yourself messed up. And it's going to be, is it not only can sex produce a baby, but sex can produce soul ties. And I hate to go here, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Amen. I wanna leave you with something else too. In the book of he must. There's another way that a husband provides for his family. He must be a role model for his home to look up to. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 tells us that. Tells us how to be role models. Something for the kids to look up to. A very good example of that. I remember, and I've said this before, I remember I was going to work. Just to give you a visual aid of what the Word of God is talking about, being a role model. Growing up, I watched my father work. I mean, he worked for 35 years. Amen. He would get up, go to work, and sick, hurt, rain, sleet, snow, he would deliver that mail. He was a mail carrier. And I would watch him get up, go to work, and everything. And as I watched him, it taught me how to work. Taught me how to work. Amen. And he was my role model growing up. Because not only did he teach me things spiritually, but he taught me things naturally. And guess what? It showed me how to work. And now I have no problem working. Sometimes when I'm tired, I get up at 4:30. I get up at 4:30 some mornings to get up and go to work. Even now, get up at 4:30 in the morning, hit that time clock. Amen. Sometimes don't want to get up, body don't want to get up, but I watch my father do it, and now I can be a role model for my children. Because I remember one time I was going to work, and I didn't have a car. I was getting on the bus, and one of my son's friends was standing outside with my oldest son, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And my friend's son said, "Who is that?" And he began to say, "He said that's my dad." And he said, "Well, where is he going?" And I'm listening to them as I'm leaving out. I'm not even saying nothing to them. I'm listening to this. And he said, "That's my dad. And, you know, he's going to work. He's going to work." "And where is he going?" "He's going to work. He only go to three places. He either go to work, church, or to his doing his radio stuff." A role model. That's what I mean by being a role model. Somebody that can look at you and say, "Hey, this is a man. This is a woman right here." He only go to three places. Now, my son was watching me. I didn't even know he was watching me like that. To know specifically where I go on a day-to-day basis. He named all three places, and that's the only places I go to. unless I'm spending time with my family, amen. But those are the only three places I go. God is my witness. The only places I go to is to work, church, and to do this. This is my main things I do on a day to day basis. Unless I'm spending time with my family or my mom and my dad or. You know, my children or my wife or, you know, my extended family. But, I mean, I prioritized Because the things that I was doing when I was single, I used to be out all the time. I used to, you know, and not doing anything sinful, but I didn't have nobody to answer to. I ain't nobody to answer to. I come home when I want to, leave when I want to, but now I can't do that. I can't just leave up and just leave when I want to. I got to check with the wife. Wife, baby, do we got any plans today? What do you got? Do you need me to watch the kids while you do something? Do you need to go out? Do we got to go grocery shopping? What do we got to do? And she does the same thing with me. Adam, do you have anything you got to do? Do we have anything we got to do? Did you make any special plans for us? Amen? These are the things that we must do. He must take time to spend time with his family. And this is very, very important. And I think this is the most important thing in marriage to do, to spend time with your family. Because we don't see that much anymore. Fathers are absent out of their children's lives. Husbands, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget the anniversary. Amen. Sometimes we forget to what we started out doing. Sometimes we forget to do now, buying the flowers. You know what? Every time I get a paycheck, I try to go out and get my wife some flowers. I started this way back when we first got married, buying her flowers, just to show her that I love her. I will sit down and talk to her. What's on your mind? That's spending time with your family. I will sit down with my children. I take my children, and these are just little things that we should do as men and as women of God, as husband and wife. We should do this with our plan. Look, the Bible declares this stuff. Amen? Spending time with your family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Amen? These three scriptures declare that we should spend time with our family. The husbands, you spend time with your wife. Wives, you spend time with your husband. Make time to spend time with them. Make time to spend time with your children. Even tonight, when we get done here, I'm going to spend time with my wife and my children tonight. Amen. We have something at our house that we call movie night. Amen. We buy popcorn and it ain't got to be nothing extravagant or expensive. Take your wife out to dinner. Take your husband out to dinner every once in a while. Plan something. It don't need to be an anniversary. It could be just because. To show them that you care. To show them that you love them. Amen. Look, I go to my, unless I'm working, I go to my children's functions. School functions. I love it when my children do they Christmas musicals and they seasonal musicals and stuff. I go to that stuff. Those are memories. I remember, and I'm just giving you a visual aid on what the Bible is trying to tell us. Amen. I remember back in the day when growing up, my parents used to do little stuff for us, and as children, and sometimes they didn't have much money, but they would take us on car rides. Everybody, hey, let's get in the car and let's just ride. Let's go for a ride. And I remember them days. We go out to the rich area of town and look at the houses. Go sometime and before my dad and my stepmother got together, me and my dad. And you can even do this if you are a parent and you're raising children by yourself, do some things with your children. Spend time with them. I remember my mother coming to get me and taking me places. I remember that stuff. I remember my dad taking me to, sometimes didn't have much money, but he, around Christmas time, he'd take, let's get in the car, let's grab a burger, and let's go look at the Christmas lights. Stuff that was fun. Stuff that didn't cost much money. Amen. Grab some McDonald's, eat in the car, watch the Christmas lights. Those were memories. Jump in the car. Let's go look at some houses. Let's go think about your future. I remember my dad and my mother had been to every single event with me and my brothers and my sister. Every single one of them. They made every single one of them. Graduation, they was at every single graduation. My oldest brother in high school used to wrestle. Made every single wrestling match in high school. I used to play a little bit of sports. I used to do little things. I used to do little talent shows and stuff. Parents were right there. These are the things that we have to do with our families. We used to see my mom and my dad and my stepmother. We used to watch them go on dates, and we used to tease them. We'd be like, hey, make sure that y'all come back at a decent hour. But we used to watch them go out and just be husband and wife. Amen? My father, and if you had, look, fathers, let me tell you something in this last little bit. If you have a daughter, I want you to do this. And I know Valentine's Day is past, but I want you to do this. And I challenge you to do this. If you have a daughter and you have a wife, when you, on special days like Valentine's Day or something like that, or even if it's just because day, you go out. I taught my boys. I said, anytime you get some extra money, go out and buy your mom some flowers or something. But this is for the fathers that have daughters. If you have a daughter and you go out and you buy your wife some flowers, buy your daughter some flowers. My father taught me that. My father taught me that. Now, I don't have any daughters, but my father taught me that through doing that for my sister. Valentine's Day, he would buy my mother something and then get my sister some candy and some flowers for Valentine's Day. Take your children. I remember going with my father to his job. Show your children what you do on your job. Take them to your job. I take my children to my job. Before I started daycare work, I took my children to my job just to let them see what I do. I sure did. I've even had my oldest son work alongside me, help me at my job. Amen? Show them how to work. I've taken my boys to various events, canned food drives and stuff. Teach them. This is what we need to do. Amen? Because if we do this, and this is the last scripture I'm going to leave with you. He must protect his home at all costs. Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 12. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. He must protect his home at all costs. Amen. These are just three things that a man must do to provide for his home. Amen. And if he does this, the Bible says, if you are faithful, if our faithfulness, for our faithfulness, we will be blessed. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23 tells us that. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 8 tells us that. You can go back and read those scriptures at your leisure. But we must, at the end of this lesson today, we must understand the full-fledged of ministry, the basic fundamentals of ministry. Ministry does not start in the pulpit. To close this out, to wrap this up, ministry does not start in the pulpit. Ministry starts at home. Ministry starts when you, as a man or a woman, prioritize your priorities. When you take on the responsibility, that starts your ministry. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is it. The ministry of marriage and fatherhood. Sit down and talk to your children. See what they need. See who they are. See where their minds are. This is all part of being a father. This is all part of being a mother. Take your children out. I got three of them. Sometimes I'll take them out together. Sometimes I'll take them out one by one just to pick their brains, just to see where they are, just to see what they need. And sometimes I ask my children, they say, like, grade me on me being a father. Grade me. Tell me what I'm doing in your eyesight. My wife, too. I grade me so I can learn what to do better. Amen. I hope this topic has blessed you on today. I pray that the Lord's blessings be upon you, upon this week, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you from the Summit Internet Radio Podcast and from the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on Spirit Live Network. We say God bless you, God bless you, God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bishop Cook, God bless you. Bishop Carver, God bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Amen. Spirit Live family, I love you in Jesus' name. And as it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In verse 39, it says, and this promise is unto you, and unto your children, and unto those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, this is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Live Network. God bless you, in Jesus' name.